receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 2 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order, so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
I heard something that you've got a lot of confidence. Maybe hands are up all over this place, because that's the way the Lord Jesus is going to wake you up in the morning. Now, you have to, here's what you need to learn, is to take thoughts captive. When a dart comes in there about something that you're interested in, you just put that dart out, that missile, you just hold the shield of faith up there and let that word keep continue coming until it's time to think about that. It's time to receive the word, to think about Jesus. It's a lot of people go to bed and they begin planning the next day. You don't go to bed to work. You go to bed to sleep, don't you? It's the devil that wants you to go to bed to work. A lot of people don't know that. You have your best ideas and plans. You just go to bed and put your notepad out there and start planning out your day tomorrow. The best way is just to have the Word of God before you go to bed at night. Go to sleep with the Word of God and have the Word of God on your mind. And what a difference it'll make in your life. Now, we're still talking about covenant, folks. Isn't it precious? Did the Lord give you some light and understanding? We have talked about, you know, there was a covenant that God had with Adam. There's a covenant he had with Abraham. He had with Noah. We have looked at this covenant with, making covenant with Abraham. We've looked at the covenant he made with David and Jonathan. And we also looked at Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And we saw that very clearly and plainly how that is a type of us as dead dogs, lame and crippled, coming to dying at the king's table. Now, that's really what we're doing right now. Is that right? You know, they talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and, you know, people, you know, we who walk in the spiritual realm, you know, what we live off of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live off of this bread right here, you see? And so the world out there, they live for their cartons. All their decision, every decision they make in the world out there is based on pleasing their carton. In other words, they live to eat the soup line bread. They live to eat. Now, see, we live off this. There's a difference in living to eat and eating to live. And we just eat to live because here's where we're living, off of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's another dimension. We have old things have passed away, all things have become new. We're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We walk in the spiritual realm. We walk in the flesh, but we do not walk after the flesh. Amen? And so now we have come to the place of understanding our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to get into that tonight. And then tomorrow, it's where I have usually started seminars before, up until here recently, and this is kind of new, kind of going through the covenant, and the Lord just changed this for me recently. But I'm real familiar with the material I use after tonight, but this has been new. But there is a war against you and a war against the covenant, which we'll begin looking at, maybe even later tonight, first thing tomorrow. And to show the deception and expose the enemy, how he has deceived us, how he has deceived our ancestors from knowing the truth and not knowing the truth has prevented us from being free. Now, you remember that Brother Peter Lord and myself, I explained the steps of covenant that we would make, and we compared this with the covenant that's in the Word, and now I want to relate to you some steps of covenant that we make with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that has the covenant with God. And we come into covenant with God Almighty. You know, it's a different thing. For man to make covenant with man is one thing, but for man to make covenant with thy will, if you will. And that's what this Bible is all about. It's about covenant. And So the first things that we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, we exchange robes. And we know that Jesus laid aside his deity. He put on the flesh, being made in the likeness of man. He came to be like one of us. And he put on the flesh. The scripture for that, and that's on the notes, and I hope that everyone... Has everyone here got these list of scriptures that... Raise your hand there. We'll pass these out if you haven't got them. All right. Just leave your hands up, and I'm just going to continue right here. Because, see, this is the only material you get here. If you don't read your Bible, we leave your comments out of it. You just have to let the Holy Ghost tell you what he wants to about this word. So anyway, the steps of making covenant would be exchanging the robes. And we know in Philippians, we won't turn there, but it's in verses 5 through 8, which is on your list right there, that Jesus emptied himself, and he took on humanity. Now we, in turn, I guess I better wait a minute because I don't want you to miss this. Now it's not necessary that you, in some cases, that you absolutely follow along with that list and everything. I just want to make sure you have it right now because, see, you and the Lord, I'm going to tell you what I'm sharing right now, now listen very closely, is going to be a lot more interesting to you toward the end of the week than you have any idea of. And so you're going to want to get with the Lord, you and the Lord, and see how, as you go back over these scriptures, and this word is going to come yours. It's going to become yours. Now, so Jesus took on the flesh, a robe of flesh, and what do we take on in this covenant? We take on the spiritual. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course there was a death to Jesus to come into this covenant. See, now many are called and few are chosen, and he's choosing us for covenant with him. But here there is death involved in our making covenant. Every time you make covenant and you become one to someone, it involves death. When I talk with Brother Peter and I'm making covenant, I want you to know that was death to Peter. That was death to me. Don't make any big thing out of this because that's absolutely what covenant is. And that is what you do when you take an oath to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You take an oath to walk in covenant. All right, now. The scripture, we won't turn to it, but it's in Romans 13, that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and here is the death, that we make no provision, not any, for the lust of the carnal, the flesh. Not any. Because I'm going to tell you why. Let me just go ahead and tell you right now. This carnal is in total agreement with Satan, the nature of it. The nature of the carton. We're beautifully made as far as the flesh and the carton is concerned. But I want to tell you that the nature of this carton is of Satan. And it's in total agreement. This carton likes to hear from demons. It loves to hear. It's in agreement with it. Because the demons always come to tell this carton how to walk over the whole bunch and how to get to the top, how to be self-centered, selfish, and take advantage in every opportunity that you have. That's how the whole world are puppets right now. The whole entire world, I don't care whether they're dancing on one foot, ha ha ha, or living in a penthouse, they're slaves of demons. And we will see that in the scripture. So this makes this very important when God says, you can't make covenant with me and make covenant with the devil. When we receive in our mind right here, and Satan does have a ministry, I think we discussed this tonight, it's hell. But he comes to tell us to speak to our flesh to come alive. Come alive, pride. Come alive, deceit. Come alive, murder, anger. Deceit. Come alive. And when we get in agreement with this, what's that up here? See, we're supposed to shut it off. That's how you resist the devil. That's how you're supposed to take every thought captive. And when we let this go to our heart and we get in agreement with the devil in our heart, we're making covenant with him. And then when you get in agreement with the devil in your heart, you'll know by a person's fruit, like Jesus saw the talked about the Pharisees in John 8. Your father and my father are different because I can tell by your deeds who your father is. Now, these are some of the things we're going to get into, but it's a war against... We're not very smart. There's nobody very smart. Just go ahead and decide that. And there's just been a whole bunch of darkness. And there will be a whole bunch of deception, but a beautiful, wonderful, loving God is moving in our lives to lead us into something. That's the people that want to let God be God and let Him have all the glory. And He's leading us into something called grace to show us, and that's the only thing it can show you. You deceive people do not know they're deceived. And He's leading us out of the darkness into some marvelous light, and He is the light, and He's the only one that has all the light. So we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual, and then when we put Him on, and we're going to see how you put Him on, you no longer make any provision for the lust of the carnal. Now that's covenant. We die to the flesh, in other words. We put on each other. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts on us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that right? Or the next thing, we exchange belts. In other words, we exchange strengths. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? We can sure give God a lot of strength, can't we? No, what we give God is our weaknesses. And we receive His strength. Now, you understand that how we just went before the throne of grace. So you don't have to call any man in to do things like this. You know this? All you have to do is repent and have your heart right, and you can go right before the throne of grace and receive these things for yourself. But you can receive by it. Just stand on part of the word, and from your throne right now in the name of Jesus, I receive strength. And that's all you do, and you get it. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, that means taking thoughts captive. Now, you cannot do this. I want you to know this is where grace is perverted. You absolutely can't do this. But when you begin to walk in it and willing to walk in it, then that's when God empowers you to be something you're totally not. Because walking in the Spirit is a supernatural walk that only God does through you. It's always been all Him. It never was us. It never was us. It's all Him. That's been the problem, us and demons. Us and demons have been running things long enough. So we exchange strength. He takes on my weakness. I take on His strength. And we know in 2 Corinthians 12 that our power, He said, my power is perfected in weakness. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. All right, the next thing that we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, are you seeing the covenant now that we're making with Jesus as it relates and as it compared with the other covenants through the Word? And you know this is a serious thing. We exchange weapons, which means we exchange enemies. Our enemies becomes the Lord Jesus Christ, or God, and His enemies become our enemies. And this is why the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. See, He just leaves us free to go ahead and love our enemies. He'll take care of them. And don't you think that He doesn't take care of them? I was sharing this morning over at First Baptist in Merritt Island about going into a motel late at night, and sometimes I just turn it on to look it on. What is the most nauseating thing? He said that he had some robed on talking about the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And his ha ha ha, they were falling out as this man. And you know something? Let me tell you something. God is not mocked. And what I could actually see, this man didn't know what I knew. But I could actually see the diseases. I could just see the enemy and everything. I could see it just coming into him, not literally, but I knew that, and not only him, but his whole household. Now that's the way God operates. And then you'll see him the next day, ha, ha, ha. And probably another week from now, you'd see him, ha, ha, ha. No, isn't he funny? But then you'll notice something. One of his things about God is patient and long-suffering. You start seeing a deterioration of his features and his personality and his home and children and the whole bunch. So when it's ha, ha, ha today, I'm telling you what, it won't be ha, ha, ha tomorrow. Because God, all over this world, is having judgment, and I'll remind you of not one power of darkness, including Satan himself. God toys with Satan like he would a bird. This whole world is like a speck of dust on the scale or a drop of water in the bucket. That's what Isaiah 40 says about this world. You know, we look at it. God said this world is meaningless and less than meaningless. The only thing that matters to God is righteousness, that everything be right in God's eyes. So when you think, when you ever think about the power of Satan, you just remember that he's got a little power on the because that's how this world is, the dominion of God. And I want you to also remember that he's calling us, this world just being a speck, he's calling us to be adopted sons. Is that strong? And he's telling us how to get there unless you've got some other way worked out. So we exchange strengths. And then we exchange weapons. He takes on our enemies when, see, we are free to love them. We put on the Word, and this is a reality. This is covenant. All the weapons, you understand that all the weapons that Jesus has, everything at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ are at our disposal right now in the name of Jesus. Can you receive that? But see, if the enemy is prevailing to keep people from knowing who they are and keep them blinded to covenant, what do you think he meant when he said over in Hebrews that he said that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would sit at his right hand until he's waiting. Now, there's the first word, he's waiting. He's waiting. He's going to have him waiting right here at his right hand until. He's going to still just keep waiting there until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. Who are the feet? Who is the body? Who is supposed to bring the powers of darkness under subjection? The only one he's ever given the authority to is the church. The church. The ones in covenant with him. It's already done. They're already defeated. He's telling us to get in on it. Unless you've got something else worked out. We have a lot of other things worked out. Because all of a sudden, we found a lot of things smarter than God. Every wind and doctrine. Or as James Robinson said, if every braying donkey that comes to town, people follow after it. Now let's just go ahead and agree with the scripture in Jeremiah 10:14 that all mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. That all wisdom comes from God. And you'll find it another place there too. He said it twice. He always says important things twice. Now I want to look at putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it'd be good you save yourself a lot of trouble if you wait till I tell you to turn to some of these things because really, brother and sister, we don't have time to turn to all the scripture because time will wait for everybody to turn to some of these. And some of them, I'm just going to quote them. But I'll be telling you where to turn to some of them. Now, we're going to see how we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians 6, and we're going to see how you put him on. This is how you put him on. And you better have him put on. You have an enemy. And he is an unseen world that you absolutely is stronger than you, wiser than you, and all this enemy is doing is just killing you. He'll kill you while you sit on the front pew. He can kill you while you're preaching. He destroys you and your family. That's only the kind of enemy that we've been ignoring. Most of the church has, at any rate. Or what he's called the church. Ephesians 6, verse 11. By the way, you know, we looked at, they pervert doctrines too, don't they? Make people believe lies, keep them in darkness, deceit, Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. You say, put it on? I hope you've got that marked. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand. It didn't say ignore, did it? That you may be able to stand firm against the what? The schemes of the devil. Now, I want you to circle schemes, because I want you to know that is a daily thing against you. There are schemes against you every day. The schemes of the devil. And you already know what these schemes are. It's to destroy you, deceive you, make you believe a lie. For our struggle. Now, where it says struggle right there, I want you to write right above that, and I want you to know that's a war. And I want you to write war. For our war is, and I want you to watch all the places it says against right here. If you want to circle it or underline it, I want you to watch this is the unseen world that you're in war with. For our struggle or war is not, there it is, against flesh and blood. Is that clear? It's an unseen world. But here it is again, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. How in the name of goodness can you stand against a force like that if you're unwilling to walk in covenant? And I don't know where I relayed this to you. I've never had a thing where I'm sharing in two places in the same day, so it's hard for me to recall what I've said to you. That's something I'll get used to if I ever do this again. But the enemy works against you just like rottenness. It's slow. Just like, and the word, see, a curse is just like a moth eating away. It's a slow deterioration. This is the way the enemy works with everyone to get them to, you know, just to drift like in a boat. You get your head down, you look up, and the boat has drifted. And he drifts you, and he drifts you, and he drifts you, and he drifts you further and further into darkness away from the light. So, this is the unseen world. It didn't say to ignore him. It says stand firm against him. And you cannot stand firm if you do not have all the weapons of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see what they are. And he said you'd better have all of them on. Now, verse 13, therefore once again he says it. Take up the full armor of God that you may be able to what? It didn't say ignore, did it? Write that word. Resist in the evil day. You don't have any problem knowing this is evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, you'll have to have on all the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand firm. I mean, have it all. And then in verse 14, you once again, he keeps saying, do not ignore. He keeps saying, stand. Stand firm, therefore, having, now here is your first weapon. Girded, sound like a girdle or a belt that we're talking about, right? Girded your loins with the what? First, you've got to have the truth. That's how you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You first put on His truth. And that's the first weapon you get. And the next one, and having, what is those two words right there? Put on. You have to put them on. Isn't that what we're talking about, putting on? We put on the weapons. If we get them from it, if we receive the weapons of Jesus, we have to put them on, don't we? If Peter and I exchange weapons, I take this weapon, I'm going to lay them down, I'm going to put them on. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number two is righteousness. And in verse 15, and having shod your feet, see that's part of the body, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know the gospel. And then the next thing you put in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all Jesus right here. 16, and this should all taken up the shield. And the fourth thing you put on is faith. Now I want you to see what faith does. With which you will be able to extinguish all the what? Flaming missiles of the evil one. Those are those darts of lust, deceit, hate, murder, pride, ego, selfishness, self-centeredness, and on and on and on, which is already in the flesh and supposed to be dead. And they're coming, those missiles say, come alive, flesh. Come alive, lust. Come alive, pride. And you know what the gospel is, and you know what the word is. and you take every thought captive, and that's how you resist the devil. There is more to it than saying greater than he that's in me than he that's in the world every 6 months. It's a continuous war. And it's a continuous, boy, I'm going to tell you something. It's a beautiful thing. Boy, I'm going to tell you that God sits on the throne of grace right now. Right now, He's sitting on the throne of grace. There's nothing in your life that you can't make right with Him right now. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, He's going to move over to a throne of judgment, and I do not think it's going to be very long, and folks, it's all over. And I think we're warned in the last days, being caught with the cares of the world, and it fall on you like a trap. And I want to tell you something, if we have time to get in, we'll carry this thing right into the last day. This beautiful snatching away that people are walking in, stubbornness and stiff neck and resistance to the Word of God, are going to find out there's going to be a snatching away. It goes in the wrong direction first. And you will see it in your Bible. And you are going to get real, a lot more interested in what your Bible says after you see this. So these flaming missiles. And then in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. This is a weapon of Jesus. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's which we used a while ago. And an interesting thing, what happens when we speak this Word. You know, like when I was down there in Houston at a seminar, allergies began to attack these people all across the place. Well, see, I don't like to... Some people have a little freedom, and they just want to run right over the top of someone. You know, some people are up the road, and some are down the road, and we're put here to love and help one another. We don't run over the top. It's not our thermometer that someone has to measure up to. We bring them to Jesus. See, that's the problem today. We want everyone to measure up to where we are or something. But I know that I could go in at the very beginning and get people set free. Sometimes there's pain and ache and things like that they're being attacked with. And sometimes the enemy would just attack the whole bunch this way. Well, usually what I like to do, I like for them to see it in the Word before we ever do it. But I didn't have an opportunity to down there in Houston and some other places I've been, so I just told everyone with allergies that's having problems and tackling, I want you to stand up all across this building. And they stood up all across that building. It was about 175 people that stood up that was being attacked with allergies. You're not supposed to have allergies. Do you understand that? Unless you're rebellious. And so it just led them as a simple prayer. We went to the throne of grace like His Bible says. I first give them a chance to repent of doubting and unbelieving the Word. And then we just went before that throne and we just stood in this Word and just led them into prayer, and God removed the allergies. I had everyone to hold up their hands. There was one fellow that was sitting over here on the right. I noticed the fellow just kind of race out the door. About 4 years ago, a fellow who was drunk had run into him, and this fellow had not been able to talk since then. But he could make sounds, and he was going to take speech and try to form his words. He could make the sound, but he couldn't form his words. And during that time, God touched him, and he began talking. And he went out there, hurried the phone to go and tell his wife. And he went out there, he decided he couldn't talk to her. He had to call another man over the phone there to tell her that it was him and he's talking. And he walked up to a man, he said, I'm talking. He said, you sure are. But see, the way we are today, God can't do too much, because every time we see Him do something, we gather around it and make it an idol. If you get any truth, gather around it. Start a denomination. Make a name for yourself. God's trying to get us in a place where He can be God. So, the next thing we do, we cut the animal. You remember? The figure eight. They walk through the pieces like Abraham did. And you know who became the animal, don't you? Who took the place of the animal? The Lord Jesus Christ did, didn't he? And we, you know, this is in Hebrews 10, that Jesus took the place of the animal, and you remember that the veil was torn in half when Jesus died. This veil was torn in half, and this was symbolized his flesh being torn for us. And when his flesh was torn for us, the veil was opened up. That's why we can stand right here in the name of Jesus and enter in right into the Holy of Holies to receive grace. Is that right? Because of him. Not because of smart folks. Not because of anything except Jesus. It's not Jesus plus a sign in the yard. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus. Now, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 49, please. Isaiah 49. And when you get to Isaiah 49, I want you to look at me just a second. Now, you remember in Acts 1? As he ascended, Jesus ascended in heaven. You remember they had already gone to Calvary, defeated all the powers of darkness, and then he had this flesh, and all eyes watched him ascend into heaven. Could they see him? Could they see him? Well, do you remember that they put his hand in his side, and also, what? There was some covenant marks still on him, wasn't it? Those covenant marks were there. Is that right? Isn't that interesting? The covenant marks are there. Well, did you ever wonder if God's just forgot you? If God ever knows what you're doing? See, let me just tell you about God. He knows. He's watching your thoughts right now. That's the most amazing thing. See, this will help you. But your thoughts and your motives, he hasn't forgotten you. And I tell you what, you might want to put this one on your refrigerator. We're going to run into a lot of refrigerator verses this week. But here it is in verse 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nurse? Let's go to 14. Who is Zion a type of? Is that a type of the church? That's correct. But Zion said, the Lord's forsaken me. The Lord's forgotten us. The Lord has forgotten me, Zion says, the church. All right, in verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child? That's what God says. Let me ask you something. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Do you understand? I understand that when a child cries, the milk process begins in a mother. She came up front and told me that today. I never knew that. And he says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion of the son of the womb? It's impossible. And these may forget, God says, or Jesus, but I will not forget you. Why? Because I've inscribed you where? Look at me. I've inscribed you in the palms of my hands. And your walls, we know this is in, the walls is in Isaiah 60:18. Walls are salvation. That's his covenant promises to you. That's what walls is. And your promises, our covenant, your salvation are continually before me. Is that strong? Are you liking covenant? He said, a woman with a nursing child could forget. I can't. It's impossible for me to forget. Promises that I've made to you, to the ones who keep covenant with me. See, grace is where God empowers you to walk in the Word and be something you're not. First, you have to be in agreement with it. If you're in unbelief and doubt, you'll never walk there. Do you remember that when Jack Taylor wrote the book about the Holy Spirit. My goodness. Just right, the problems and how upset some people come about, You know, there's just certain parts of the Bible, see, it doesn't fit in the structure, see. You know, people that's already got all the light don't like to hear any new things from God. And see, this Holy Spirit is the one that comes to empower. That is the grace to empower you to be something you're totally not. You walk in a supernatural realm. You do obey the Word of God. You do walk. What do you think God said that you take every thought captive? Was He that some kind of exercise or something? He said no. He put it in His Bible for you to do it, not to analyze it. See, that has been a deception, and we want to analyze the experts about God's Word instead of walking in it. All right? That would be the covenant marks. Then there are the blessings and the curses. Now I want you to turn with me back to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to tell you somewhere around 27 to 29. Now I want to see where I want to start. We're going to look at these blessings and curses because I want you to know. I tell you, I'm going to start in Deuteronomy 29. Now, ever since Exodus, there has been an Israel of God. Do you understand that you, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, not because you're sitting here in a church and a building with a steeple on it, but if Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you are the Israel of God. Do you understand that? There has always been an Israel of God. The Israel of God are the people that's in covenant with God. Amen? And they're a separated people. They're separated from the world. They're separated from the forest. They do not walk, talk, and act like the world. They're a holy people. All right, now He's making covenant with the Israel right here. And Deuteronomy 29... Verse 10. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God. Here they all are. Gathered before God to make covenant. Your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, the alien who is within your camps. From the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water. Does it sound like the whole bunch is there? About coming into covenant with God. In verse 12, that you may what? That's what they're standing there to enter in covenant with the Lord your God and into His what? What is that word? I want you to circle that. When you make covenant with God, you take an oath. A covenant's a covenant. I mean, whether it's an old covenant or a new covenant, a new covenant's better than the old. I'm telling you, a covenant with God, you take an oath. You know, it's not something you pass judgment on. You enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into His oath which the Lord your God is making with you today. Here they all stood. Now I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy 27. They're all standing there before God. They're standing there to make covenant with God. Now you remember that the curses, He'd speak these awful curses on one another if they did not keep covenant. Amen? And this is what they're doing in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. And these people are all agreeing to these curses if they do not keep walk in it. To walk in covenant. And I'm just going to read the last one, verse 26. Cursed, I want you to mark cursed. That means the cursed. The curses are on them. Cursed is the one who does not confirm the words of this law by what? It didn't say analyzing it, did it? By doing them, and all the people shall say what? Amen. They say, so be it. They were in agreement that these curses would be on them if they did not keep covenant. Is that correct? All right, now I want you to understand something, that all the next chapter of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is first starting out with the blessings, and then starting in 15... The blessings, the first 15 verses, are for people who are walking in covenant and stay in covenant. And let me just tell you something, that the curses start after they're still here all over the church today because they're wise in their own eyes. That'd be kind of interesting to look at, won't it? In 28th chapter, verse 1, I mean a covenant's made to walk in. It's an agreement. God says, I will if you will. To make covenant with God Almighty and not walk in it. Remember that all mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. I want you to understand something. That Abraham never did come to God first. God came to Abraham and moved him into a place where he could make covenant with him. I absolutely, honestly believe right now that this is what God is doing. He's moving us into a place to walk with him. It's grace. Man never goes to God. Forget it. It's always God. That man going to God's religion. God always comes to man. Now, a covenant is made, folks. Don't you get this thing, think I've got works and grace messed up. Because we'll cover this when we get through this covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll cover this walk of salvation in the New Testament Scriptures about who's getting the Holy Spirit and about the walk in covenant. So don't think I've got this. I'm telling you, a covenant's made to walk in, to be a doer of the Word. James 1 said that the one that's a hearer instead of a doer deludes himself. He deludes himself. Now, no wonder repentance, we don't hear anything about repentance or righteousness or holiness or discernment or these things. To overcome the world, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the devil. See, if you're not overcoming the world, the flesh, the devil, the world and the flesh and the devil are overcoming you. Now, in verse 1. Now, I want you to understand everything I'm telling you is good news. I'm going to tell you this, going to understanding, going to come in your life. That's totally, totally going to change your life just sitting here, but I'm totally going to change this word. I think one of the first things you do, particularly when you get the powers of darkness back in the Bible, you're going to want to see, you want to reread your Bible. You find out a lot of things we've been calling one thing is another. In a moment, you're going to find out we've been calling blesses, curses, blessings today. Now, let's look at one. Now, it should be if. If's a condition. Will you please circle if? If you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do... There it is. Did it say be a doer? I want you to circle do. You're supposed to do it. God, over and over, this word says, I'll do this if you'll do this. I'll do this, you do this. You're being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you. And they're going to what? They're going to overtake you if. Circle if. You'll obey the Lord your God. Now you remember in John where He said, when you've got some light, folks, when God gives you some light, He said, you better walk in that light because darkness is right there to what? Overtake you, the darkness is cursed. That's them. That is the curses. You, when you've got light, you better walk in it. All right, now. Verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You're blessed coming and going. Can't beat that, can you? We're going to get over in a minute where you're cursed coming and going. Hanging in there. Verse 7. Like the world, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise up. Boy, I want you to know there's a bunch of them. Oh, are they a bunch. Don't never go away from here saying that I see a demon behind every bush. I see 50. I'll be glad when the church can see them. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. 9. The Lord, here's the covenant people with the Lord. The Lord will what? Establish you. Now that's kind of sounding like 1 Peter 5, doesn't it? Perfecting you and establishing you. He also says over there you're going to suffer. But anyway, the Lord will establish you as a what? Since when is people who's supposed to be in covenant with God not supposed to be a holy people? Where'd that come from? That's somebody else working it out. But the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. That is covenant. New or old, as He has swore to you, if. There's a condition. If you'll keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and what? What's that word? You're going to walk in whose ways? His ways. Now, verse 15. Now, I like the way you're answering me back. I just know you're reading your Bible when you talk back to me like that. And I appreciate that. Now, verse 15. But it shall come about if. There's a condition. You will not obey the Lord your God. In other words, you get something else worked out. Maybe a window doctrine comes by. Or one of those braying donkeys. And you just figure he just might be smarter than God, see? And it come out, if you will not obey the Lord your God, observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, then he begins to say the rest of Deuteronomy 28, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Folks, let me tell you what, the curses are not over in Africa only. Neither are the demons. You know, once again, we've been told they're all over there. At least they're across the tracks. They wouldn't come around our kind of people, would they? See, it only takes one demon. You remember this. Don't make any big thing out of curse. That's just sinning against God and breaking covenant. It only takes one demon to have ground in your life to be a curse. You just remember that. Because one demon is a curse, whatever he's doing. Give ground he gets in your life. All right, now, in verse 19, cursed shall you be when you come in, cursed shall you be when you go out. And then, now, instead of being blessed coming and going, you're cursed coming and going. And then in verse 20, the Lord will send upon you curses and what? What's that word? Confusion. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? I want you to smart confusion. Now, let me just give you an example about life and death in the tongue. And Brother Daddy has dealt with this a long time before I ever knew anything about it. Confusion and the enemy. See, there is a demon that if God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, a power of love, and now where's the spirit of fear? That is, there is a demon who specializes in fear. There are demons who specialize in attacking different parts of the body, maybe like the eyes, blindness, or deafness, or dumbness. They attack different parts of the body. There are different demons that attack different parts of the personality. Just like God has fruit of the Spirit right here, everything God has, the Satan has the counterfeit of. Love and hate and whatever, you see. Love and selfishness. And he has the counterfeit of. So in this confusion, the world out there, I want to show you the world in the church. The world out there all confess they're confused, don't they? Say, I'm confused. And a church just walks and talks like that. Let me ask you something. How can you be confused if you have the mind of Christ? See, we walk, talk, and act like the devil. We speak curses on us. We're in agreement with our heart with what the devil's doing instead of what God's Word says. God doesn't bless ignorance. My wife stopped me from saying, God don't bless ignorance. But anyway, if you find anyone is confessing confusion, usually they've got him. He's living right in there pulling that lever of confusion on them. And they're going around boasting in him. And that, remember, Jeremiah 10:14. All mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. All right, now, that's the world without the Lord. All wisdom comes from Him. Now the Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, you see this is a curse, and rebuke and all you undertake to do until you're destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your what? That's your deeds, your walk, right there. Because you have forsaken me. Well, let's just look there at 23. And the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze. And note, your prayers won't go through. The earth which is underneath you, iron. Look in verse 25.
You're cursed on the earth, your prayers don't get through. In verse 25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Who shall go out before you? You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them, and you shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, instead of the enemy going seven different directions, you'll be going seven different directions. It's whether you're walking in government or not. I heard Jack Taylor say one time in a meeting in Fort Worth, he said it only takes one sick, weak, anemic demon to bind up the average church. Why not, if they don't believe in them? Why should it be any problem? And now in 27, the Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with what? Oh, tumors. I thought those were blessings. What is doing over here in curses? Huh? Well, sure, I'm glad God changed, aren't you? I thought tumors were blessings. And right there, it says they're curses. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, and with scab, with itch from which you cannot be healed. Now, folks, let me tell you something about understanding. When you have understanding, then you know how to apply the Word and the covenant. That's where the Lord is leading us. We had a lady there in the seminar that at the end of it, I didn't even know she's there. But we prayed with her, and I didn't know it even until probably she sat down there. That was back before the Lord had changed some things. We kind of deal one-on-one. It got to be so many people, you can't do it. And the Lord worked out another way. But she sat there, and she had not found out that she hadn't been able to breathe hardly for 6 months because of a tumor in her throat. Pitiful. And her husband, now, if you could just see, he just loved her with all his heart, and he just got down by this chair right there, and he's just such a humble man. Boy, I knew God. I look at things like that, and I can just tell when God's going to do something. Boy, God loves them humble people. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I saw that humble man and that humble lady that was sitting right there. And you know something? We just began praying for her there, and here this husband just loved this wife and just knows he's just about to lose his wife. And boy, he just comes humbly before that precious throne of grace. And you know, while we was praying for there, she just gave a little jerk and she said, "It's gone." Isn't that interesting? Isn't it amazing that God can do things like that? You know, we've developed theology that God can't do anything. He needs us more than we need Him. That's why I heard Peter a few years ago, "Come on down and cooperate with us, God. You see what we're trying to do for you." Watch a lady, you know, whose chin, fixing to go have it broken and wired together. And just pray for her. And her teeth that haven't ever met, and just while you're praying, her jaw just shifts over and her teeth comes together. See, these things are no problem for God. If you walk in covenant. This is where He's trying to move us. See, we've been over here wanting God to move over because we already had it all worked out. And He's funny about it. He just hadn't moved, has He? So I think that we're crawling back over here. Isn't that right? You know, I've often thought about these. I get so tickled at James. I'm glad you had him here a few days ago. James says that, you know, you should never have healing lines. People don't like healing lines. What you need to do is start healing circles. Don't have them line up. And start healing circles. Now, I've added another thing to that. I believe that when you pray for the sick, you should have everyone to come on the left-hand side over here. No, I believe that you better have them when they want to be healed. The goats get on that side. I believe that you better get them to come on this side. The ones that want to be healed should come over to this side right over here. And they pray to be healed. And the ones that want to double up on their tumors and their sickness and everything, and they want to get blessed with another one and everything, you pray for them over here. Now, you think, hey, folks, I'm not saying this to be cute or smart. I'm agreeing with the Word right here. You understand that? I am agreeing with the Word. See, when you find out that demons bring sickness into your body, and that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His covenant Word right here, you, not some man came to town. Let's forget that stuff. It's all Jesus. But you, in the name of Jesus, have authority to bind that disease to that demon. We're seeing more and more. But let's just be honest while we're on this subject. Divine healing hasn't become a reality today. Let's don't just cover it all up. But it's more and more a reality right now than it ever was. And it's coming fast. The people and things we're seeing people be healed of. Well, anyway, there is the curses. Are there curses in covenant if you don't obey the Word of God? Do you think that some of these things might have got on us? We just skipped a bunch. We'll come back here later on. Let's see. We got to verse 20. Was it or at 25? All right, 27. Okay, let's read one more. Let's just read 45. Verse 45. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you. Now do you see that darkness overtake you? See darkness, the curses. The enemy is always pursuing you. This is how darkness overtakes you. They pursue you and overtake you until you are what? Do you want you to know everyone in the world is being destroyed? It's just a slow process of destruction. Because you would not obey, you would not keep covenants, what it's saying, over and over and over and over. Will you please tell me, folks, when did it change? When did it ever change? Not that you didn't have to walk in covenant. Who come back from heaven and said, God's changed it all because He's tired of being God. He wants us to be God. Because you would not obey the Lord your God, but keeping His commandments, His statutes, which He commanded you. Now, just to be sure that this is a covenant, let's go to chapter 29. Just read that first verse. These are the words of the covenant. Now, this is a covenant, blessing and curses, which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel. Now, you know we're the sons of Israel today? The sons of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which He had made with them at Horeb. Now, there is the blessings and the curses. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think those blessings are reality today for people who walk in covenant? Shake your head. It absolutely is. Unless you've got something else worked out. Now, is the curses all over the church today? They really are. And in a lot of cases, they're called blessings. Darkness is light. And bitter is sweet. If He can't prevent something, He perverts it. And that's what He's been doing. I'll tell you what we're doing, folks. We're starting all over again. Jesus is Lord. It just doesn't matter what anybody's saying except the Lord Jesus Christ. It just doesn't matter. I mean, let me, it does matter, but this matters more. Okay, man, here he is. Through Jesus Christ, all things are created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rules, or authority. Everything has been created through Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is before all things, and in Jesus Christ, all things hold together, and now He's taken on the name of Son of Man. Isn't that interesting? And of course, we are called Christian, which is what? Little Christ. Isn't that right? We're called little Christ, which means that we do the works. He who believes in me, the works I do, shall he do also. And what John 14 says? Now, you're going to really like this. Let's look in John 6. In John 6. Now, there's a difference in this kind of bread and the soup line bread, isn't it? Soup line bread is for the carton, okay? This bread is for the spiritual man. All this stuff about bless my flesh, my carton, go get your flesh blessed. I tell you, we live to build up the inner man. This is where we live. We die to the carton daily. And the lust of deceit, the lust of the flesh. And when you choose this process of everything, God makes it a reality in life. Because you can, in every temptation, we're called, we're told that we can go to the throne of grace. He said, you've got a priest that's already been suffered and tempted in all points, yet without sin. And from that same throne of grace, he sits right there and say this resentment every time anyone hurts you. This unforgiveness and resentment immediately comes to you. The devil comes right there. The demons come to build a case against that person. Immediately, like that. And right there, when they do that, you can't stand against or resist. You just called, Lord, I choose with my will to love and forgive this person who has hurt me. From your throne now, I receive love and forgiveness. It's flowing through me to that person, and that's over for the devil. Amen. Now, that's grace. That's grace, but you walk in covenant, and you resist the devil. And you know what the next thing he does? Didn't say ignore him, said resist him, and he flees, because you're not listening. He doesn't have any ministry with you. You're in Christ. And you're saying, I'm not coming out, Mr. Devil. I'm in, and I'm not coming out. So, John 6. Verse 48, I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that come down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Now, what's this bread supposed to represent? You know, if you're in a covenant, if you make a covenant, you remember that Brother Peter and I, we would eat the bread, and that would mean our flesh, wouldn't it? That would be taking Peter into me. Peter would be taking me into himself. Isn't that right? So what he's talking about, I want you to understand and catch this, folks. He's talking about covenant to these folks. And they get all tore up a little later because they don't want his enemies, because these people, when they get in covenant with somebody like this, I mean, it's all over for their... Well, you just watch the disciples walk away and watch what happened here. I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. That's covenant. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my what? What do you do when you go take the Lord's Supper? The bread and the wine. That is renewing covenant. It's a serious thing. He has a few warnings about this. Let's go in verse 52. The Jews therefore begin to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. You know what he's talking about. The symbol of covenant right there, isn't it? The bread and the wine. Do you see it? He said, that's how you have eternal life, to make covenant with God. You don't make covenant with the devil and have eternal life. Well, you're going to have eternal life somewhere. I think it's called eternal death. But the fact you're living is the fact you're going to live forever somewhere. You choose. You choose, because everything God ever created, He's tested. He built a hell. He built a hell for many, many, many angels that won't agree with Satan. We're given a choice today whether we want to agree with Satan or agree with God today. And He built a hell for these angels eternally. That's the judgment of God. Adam, the first man created, was tested He didn't pass the test. And you, me, and millions of others were cursed and still cursed because of the sin of that man. The most upright man on earth was tested, Job. Peter, the Lord Jesus said to him, Satan's a man in to sift you as wheat. He didn't get out of it. He said, I pray that after he gets through sifting you, that you return and strengthen the brethren. He's tested. See, Peter once tried to do it in his own strength. He said, I'm ready to go to prison and die for you, Lord. Big mouth. You hear that's carton talk. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows, before the sun comes up, you'll deny me three times. What did Peter do? He denied him three times. Did you know that something else happened? He received grace. He received power. At Pentecost, he wasn't denying him anymore, was he, folks? No, because he received that grace to be something he wasn't. You can't stand the test. You can't take the test without the grace and the power of God on your life. And we're going to see how power comes into church and why there's no power today before we get through here this week. We're going to see why there's absolutely no power. Jesus suffered more and was marred before any man, more than any man. It pleased the Father that he suffered. I'm going to tell you something. You are being tested. You hear me? This inner man, your heart is being tested to see who you're in agreement with. Who you want to be an image of. Let's go ahead. 52, the Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless he eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. In other words, he says, death is working in you, folks. You are dying. You're already dead in God's eyes, unless you make covenant with God. And then 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has what? What is he saying there? He who makes covenant with me has eternal life. Do you see that? That's exactly it. And I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Is this getting a little interesting, folks? Now verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me. See, that's the way, you know, I give you an example of Peter and myself making covenant. We become one. He said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, that's covenant. They become one. Is that what you're reading right there? 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. I don't want to go too fast. I want to give you just a chance to meditate on this. 58, this is the bread which come down to heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. When you make covenant with God Almighty, you eat the bread, the flesh of Jesus Christ, you make covenant with him, you live forever. Is that plain? Now let's look in verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this is a difficult statement, who can listen to it? And in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. You folks just wanting to live for your carton. The flesh profits nothing. It's nothing. It's phony. It's satanic, the nature of it. The world system, the people of the world, walk, talk, and act like Satan. They are an image of Satan. It is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life. And look at verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And look what he said to the 12. Jesus therefore said therefore to the 12. You see, there's more disciples than the 12 around. There were multitudes of disciples around. We see in one place in Luke. See, that you know that Jesus didn't do a thing to any disciples he couldn't do through me and you. See, it's always Jesus where it's him, through him, them, or me, or you. It's always him. See, a disciple's disciple. This is what we're called to be, a disciples. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, do you want to go away also? You do not want to go away also, do you? Now look. Look at me. Other people don't want to make covenant with God because their heart goes somewhere else. Now I want you to remember this scripture. He who wants to save his carton, flesh, is going to what? Lose it. But he who loses the life of this carton, the flesh, but he who loses life for my sake and covenant gospel shall what? You're going to save it. In other words, let's say that again. He who loses life, he who tries to save his life is going to lose it. You know what he's saying? He who tries to save his carton, lives for his carton, is going to lose it. Now, you're going to have one. I'm telling you down here. See, we got a lot more hours left. I'm telling you down here some things, but it's going to come clearer and clearer to you. But he who loses life, tries to save his life, is going to lose it. But he who loses life for my sake and the gospel, my sake, that's covenant, is the one that's going to save it. Let me give you another way. In Revelation, how it all ends, they overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb. Well, what was the blood of the Lamb? That's a victory that the Lord won for us at Calvary. Isn't that right? Number one, that's how we overcome, a victory that's already been won for us at Calvary. Number two, by the word of our testimony. What is the word of our testimony? That we shook some preacher's hands? No! Our testimony is that we say what God says. We speak the word. That's what moves the spiritual realm. That is how we... So we overcome the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not our carton until death. If your heart goes after your carton, how can you walk with God? You're walking... That's a spiritual realm. Let me give you that. I'm just going to have to share something with you later. Boy, it's hard to keep them going about 15 different directions. I want to tell you, it's going to be a good week. Can I just tell you? Boy, I'll tell you what, Jesus is something. You don't just throw a fit now. Praise the Lord. John 7, verse 5. And I want you to remember this. We're going to tie it in somewhere else. For not even his brothers were believing in him. His own brothers. Of course, we know that later on they did, but they wasn't believing him at that time, were they? An interesting thing happened to his brothers and mothers one time. We're going to look at it later. Now look at verse 7. He said, the world, I hope you mark this, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Do you know something? When you walk in covenant, you convict the world of self-centeredness. That's why the world hates you when you let your light shine. If you got the light, it's shining. It's not under the bed or under the bushel. And that light convicts the world and the people you get around it. It convicts them of their self-centeredness and selfishness because that's where the whole world is programmed to live for themselves. The opposite of selfishness is love. We're walking in a supernatural realm where we give and we give and we give and we give because we've got an unending source from the throne of grace. The more we give, the more we get. Give and it be given unto you full measure, shaken down, pressed down, and running over. Will it be given unto you as you give unto men? And see, that involves a lot more things than $100 bills. You give grace. You give mercy. You give love. Whatever you give your time, whatever you give, patience, you get more. So you will be hated by the world. Is that what your Bible tells us? Now, I want you to turn with me to John 15, and it will be the place where we throw our fit. Now, I want you to know that when you come into covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, the church will not be the church. We're not going to see things happen like they did in Acts until we know what the church knew in the book of Acts. We don't know what they knew, but I know that we're coming into it, and it's coming fast for the people that want to know. And it's not all coming to one man. It's coming to the body. And I want to tell you what they had, a covenant relationship. Let me tell you what they had. That's why someone could take all their possessions, the wealthy and everything they had, and throw it down. They counted it as nothing because they was not no longer living for the carton. They were living for eternal things. They set their mind on heavenly things instead of earthly things. Their covenant, when you make covenant and you come into Lord Jesus Christ and someone else in Lord Jesus Christ, you become one. You're in covenant. And that's what they knew. And that's what the Lord is teaching us today. So the disciples had a relationship. We're disciples. If you notice over in Acts, they were the congregation of disciples. They wasn't a congregation of joiners. And a disciple does the works of Jesus. And their relationship with one another, we're going to look at John 15, folks, and I'm going to tell you what's the truth. I pray to God you'll not let the devil take this away from you. They can steal the word right out of your heart. What they do is just replace it with a lie. Now, when you read what you're going to read here, you're going to read something strong. And I hope you'll hold fast to it. Now, here's supposed to be our relationship to one another. In chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, our covenant, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is a disciple relationship. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for who? Who are friends? Friends is someone you're in covenant with, blood covenant. What do you do? What is covenant? You always have to lay down your life when you make covenant. Amen? Is that what we've seen over and over? You love this person as yourself. That is covenant. Now, have you marked lay down your life for his friend? That is the covenant love right there. That is loving kindness. That is mercy. That is grace. That is the God kind of love right there. Now you say, well, I can't do that. I'm going to tell you what you absolutely cannot. But I'll tell you what, when you're willing to, you'll receive the grace from God that you will do it. When you get an agreement right there in covenant. What did he put these things in the Word for us? All right, now. 14. You are my what? Friends, if you keep covenant, if you do what I command you. In other words, if you do what I command you, if you keep my covenant, you're my friends. Covenant is made to walk in. It's agreement. I will if you will. Covenant is not made to analyze. Speculate about it. It's something you do. It's a place where you live. 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you what? That's covenant. That's disciples right here. They're friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Glory be to God forevermore. That's good. Whew. Well, I tell you what, I get glimpses of grace and it just almost consumes me. I mean, God is something.
This concludes tape number 3. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 4, where this message continues.
And see, if this is new to you, you might as well adjust to what the Bible says and not be offended. Amen? Because it says plainly, this wisdom doesn't come from above. This wisdom is the world. Say, what you're walking and talking and acting just like the world while you're speaking blessings out of your mouth. This wisdom is the world. This wisdom is the flesh, walking out of the flesh. And this wisdom is just plain old demonic. They're the ones that's putting these fiery missiles in there. You want to sit back down, please? That's the reason he said, you adulteress, when you're a friend of the world, when you walk, talk, and act like the world, don't you know that you are an enemy of God? Amen? So I want you to see again that, now just quickly, I want you to turn to me to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches, preaches, advocates a different doctrine that doesn't agree with the gospel, the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with this doctrine and gospel right here that conforms you to godliness by, let me tell you how it does it, by causing you to die to everything, all selfishness and self-love. Amen? If anyone preaches or advocates another doctrine like this that doesn't conform you to godliness, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't remove selfishness, that advocates for you to walk in rebellion toward God instead of godliness, they are conceited. They understand nothing. That's the veil. You understand what I mean? When you don't walk in love, you walk in darkness. They're conceited. They understand nothing. But they have a morbid interest in what? Controversial questions and disputes about words. That's when you start teaching this part of the word, this is when you get attacked with, he believes in sinless perfection. All he wants to talk about is demons. All he wants to talk about, he believes Christians can have demons. See, the problem is, what some folks call Christians, and what the Bible calls Christians, two different things. See? Amen? See, that's the rub, but people who are ready to deceive and think they're Christians, when they're walking rebellion to God, and being programmed to harden their heart to the Word of God, and to reject truth without even examining it, don't know this. See? They're conceited, but anyway, they have controversial questions because this is how they... Now, look at me right here again. How do you think that someone right here who has... they want to look down on their people, they want to make a name for themselves, they want self-glory, they have pride, self-love, superiority, haughtiness, they're masterful, and they're controlling. What do you think they're going to do to someone that comes along with a part of the Bible there that tells them that they have to put to death the deeds of the flesh, and a doctrine right here doesn't conform you to godliness, they are without understanding, deprived of the truth. Now, what have they got to do? This person right here will either repent of it or he has to attack you. They always repent or attack. So how's he going to do? He attacks you and all, and anyway, the way the power of darkness shows, he tries to discredit you. And then he brings up these disputes about words and controversial questions that's against it. And then, because if he doesn't do it, listen to me, if he doesn't attack, this Bible will tear down his kingdom.
This concludes tape number 2. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 3, where this message continues.